This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, welcoming Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations, to comment on five capitals' points of view as the war ages 9 months in Ukraine. Professor, a very good evening to you. I read you random London headlines. Russia sends elite paratroopers to front line amid heavy losses. Vladimir Putin tells soldiers' angry mothers he feels their pain in Moscow meeting. Russian reservists suffer heavy casualties digging trenches while under fire. American missile hit Ukraine department block and injured civilians. Russia labeled state sponsor of terrorism as missile strikes leave Ukraine without power. Professor, Moscow's point of view, combining the mothers complaining to Vladimir Putin, who went on television to respond to them, at the same time, Surovikin, the new Russian commander, General Armageddon, is raining fire down on Ukraine, and it's gone dark. Good evening to you, Professor.
Good evening, sir. Well, I think the point that I'd like to get to in our chat this evening is that this war has turned out to be much bigger and more violent and to last much longer than we expected, than anyone remotely expected at the beginning. And that likewise, as I believe that we are entering, beginning to enter the phase of termination, termination is going to be just as long and complicated and difficult. On Mr. Putin's speaking to the mothers, the mothers have every reason to be concerned. There is, according to some experts, the bloodiest fighting of the war so far in Donbass, in which Mr. Surovikin, or General Surovikin, is using his own patented tactics, which are a combination of systematic destruction of civilian infrastructure along with human waves. And let me just briefly explain the way he does the human wave attack. The first line of the wave are convicts, former prisoners who have been sent for the purpose of leading the charge. Then after them come draftees, in other words, the sons of these mothers who are complaining. And then come professional, long-service Russian soldiers who are called blocking forces. And their job is to be sure that the two ranks in front of them don't run away, that they have to go into the battle. And Surovikin likes this tactic. He has used it before, although never against a country having quite the resources that Ukraine has. But we're getting estimates of 700 Russians killed a day, just absolutely soaring destruction. So it's getting very, very bloody. And if too many draftees are killed as a result of Mr. Surovikin's real cold-bloodedness, this is going to be a problem in Russia. In fact, I think we can already see fault lines beginning to emerge in Russia, although we can't map them. We have to let the Russians handle them. We have the destruction of the power grid. There are four more nuclear plants that are problematical, and all we need is to have an emergency, a meltdown or something in one of these plants. And given the way that coolant water is often unavailable and power, this is all very, very worrying. However, we have to ask the question of how are the Ukrainians going to respond to this? I think that they will manage through this incredible destruction of the civilian infrastructure. I would remind our listeners that in World War II, after we had bombed Germany far more heavily than even the Russians are hitting Ukraine, that nonetheless their industrial production peaked in the year 1944. So appearances can be a bit misleading, but they're not entirely misleading. And there's no question that the attack on the civilian structure of Ukraine makes it very, very, makes things much more difficult for the Ukrainians. From a military point of view, I think the Ukrainians are not going to be drawn into massive, sanguinary battles, but they will continue to do what they have been doing, which is to cut lines of communication. And I should note that they have already cut this, I think it's called Route 66. It's the main north-south supply route for the Donbass. They've already cut it in one place. And unless the Russians succeed in restoring this, and it's really more likely that the Ukrainians are going to cut it some more, then support, logistical support for the Russian forces in Donbass is going to become difficult. I think that the Ukrainians will, they don't have anywhere near as much artillery as the Russians have, but they have much better counter-battery equipment, that is, equipment for locating precisely where the Russian artillery is, and they also have far more accurate rockets and artillery, which they can use gradually to destroy the preponderance of artillery that the Russians have. Right now, the Russians are shelling everything from basically the eastern end of the boundary with Crimea to the western end. But that is not necessarily terribly effective militarily. But they are clearly the Russians are not, they're not willing to give up on this. They're not willing to make peace now. They want at least another battlefield victory. And the way to consider this is that if the Russians wanted to make peace, why don't they make it now? I think the answer is that they expect that they can achieve a lot more. Now, I'm not so sure of that, but it's a possibility, certainly. And is Surovikin, I think so we have to ask, is Surovikin going to cause the Ukrainians to change their war aims? And then the other question that we have to ask is, where does Surovikin, who is a kind of borderline gangster and but a very bloody general, where does he fit into the constellation of political forces in Moscow? And I think the answer to the first is that the Ukrainians are not going to change their war aims. And I think the answer is the second, that we don't have the foggiest idea about Russian internal politics, despite the fact that our CIA director has just been over there.
Professor, a detail about the mothers complaining to Putin. Is that looks to be a new development that they're letting us know about this. Is that significant given the bloody-mindedness of the Russian forces?
Well, my sense is that it's very significant because Putin never considered when he launched this war that his credibility as Russian leader might come under question. He assumed that this was going to be a quick, easy sort of snatch and grab, and everybody would say that was brilliantly executed. But when you have mothers protesting 9 months into the war at a time when it's already clear, first, that Russian conscription is highly problematical and it's not fair, and second, that national minorities apparently are being conscripted disproportionately, then I think you have the makings of divisions within the Russian population, the elites, the diplomats, the soldiers, all the rest, about what happens, where we go. And their mothers are going to be saying, look, Mr. Putin, if your general Surovikin is taking off the gloves and my boys may well be killed, but I don't believe that he's going to win by doing that. So then what's your next trick going to be?
Let's go to Kyiv. Professor H.J. Mackinder, international relations, commenting on five capital points of view 9 months into the war. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.